Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Beasley switching it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, on the heels of the Killer Bees tonight. It is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We very much appreciate the Killer Bees ahead of us. Joel and Jeremy. So we got two shows in a row. Tonight at 6 Central, tomorrow night 6 Central. Was traveling, so we will get these two shows, and we got a lot of good things to talk about. We stream at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, at Glenn Davis Soccer, Soccer Matters GD. I might just read your take on the air. Better yet, call the show tonight, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. ESPN with your takes and football thoughts. By the way, keep that number handy. Giving away Copa America tickets tonight, tomorrow. We got June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica. We got June 24th, Colombia and Paraguay. And then July 4th, the knockout match, which likely could be Argentina if they win their group. By the way, you can also buy tickets at LSSE.net or win them on the show. But either way, Copa America is going to give us that real World Cup 2026 flavor. Guillermo Lazo Romero behind the glass, as usual. Dynamo winners come up with their first three-goal game of the year last night, a fourth multi-goal game of the year. So in 16 matches, they've had four multi-goal games. And you've heard Eric Svechenko saying, you know, we have to play without a little bit of pressure. We got to start scoring some goals. Last night was the perfect opponent, the Colorado Rapids. They had given up 8 goals in 2 games prior. There was something I sensed, and I think a lot of people sensed, that this could be a night the Dynamo score some goals. And they did. And we'll get into that tonight. I'm going to position the importance of this. Also, big managerial moves in Europe. An American manager you may not know has brought a Bundesliga 3, Division 3 team to the second division. This is a really good story. I'll tell you about that tonight. Champions League, Real Madrid and Dortmund is Saturday at 2 Central. I think we're going to hit that a lot heavier tomorrow night. But there will be a big bash. Paramount is going to be at pitch 25. And I expect we're going to see a lot of Real Madrid jerseys there and hopefully a sprinkling of Dortmund. But if any Real Madrid or Dortmund fans want to have a say ahead of the UEFA Champions League final, 2 o'clock Central Time on Saturday, let me know. Dortmund fans, are you in Houston? Real Madrid fans, I know you are. Okay, so we'll start with Barcelona hiring Hansi Flick from the German national team. So Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona is going to join me tonight, segment 3. We're going to talk German Hansi Flick becoming the new manager of Barcelona. Second segment, we will have Dynamo goalkeeper live, Andrew Tarbell. 10 saves last night in 3-1 victory over Colorado. That equaled a record that Pat Onstad had. Outstanding. First half really positioned and kept the Dynamo in it. Made a lot of very big saves. He had that really spectacular double save where he sealed off the near post, got himself up quickly. We're going to talk to Andrew about his performance last night and what's going on with the Dynamo. But back to Hansi Flick. He's now going to be the new Barcelona manager. So Xavi led the team to the 2023 La Liga title. This season, they ended in second place, 10 points behind Real Madrid. Xavi had announced his departure at the end of the season back in January. We're all kind of shocked by that. Then it was stated he would stay. And then a month later, Hansi Flick is hired. So there's all kinds of theories as to what's going on. Lots of talk of the poor relationship between Xavi and sporting director Deco. That is a fact. We've heard that one a lot. So where there is smoke, there is fire. And then there's, you know, supposedly the loss of confidence from Joan Laporta, the president, who incidentally hired Xavi. Xavi and Deco have had, I think it's pretty clear, a conflict over the roster. I've heard things about Robert Lewandowski. Deco wants him to remain. Xavi wants him to go. There's also reports that the locker room and certain players were lost. So these are all the types of things that come out in a situation like this. I will ask Jordi Sunye if in fact he believes, and this is very subjective, but if this is the most pressure-filled job as a manager in all of world football. These board members are incredibly egotistical. They all fight for certain things. You got sporting director fighting for certain players. Sometimes the sporting director has been an agent before, feels loyalty to certain things. I think there's more politics in all this stuff. And I think we all know there's politics in it, but there's more than I think we even believe behind the scenes. And I've heard that in Major League Soccer as well. I've heard some interesting dealings with players in South America and things happening under the table and on and on. But I think that's in every soccer league in the world. So let's get into the Dynamo match from last night. I had the local call, and this was a match that I think if we looked at it on paper, here was a team coming in that had conceded 8 goals in 2 games. Zach Steffen, to me, has not looked good. He looked like a zombie last night, quite frankly. It's pretty bizarre. I thought something was wrong with him, honestly. You've taken now 11 goals in 3 games. I didn't see any emotion, any reaction in him. I didn't see him shouting at defenders. So the good news is 3-goal game for the Dynamo, first of the year. Andrew Tarbell came up with the big saves in the first half, positioned the team to win. Had that 26-minute double save. That was huge. And then in the 40th minute, Griffin Dorsey curls a great ball in, and Amin Bassi makes a nice time to run, splits two defenders. Here it is, 40th-minute goal. Amin Bassi puts the Houston Dynamo up after they have been pummeled here and after Andrew Tarbell's made a number of good saves.
Can the Dynamo get one here? Coco Carrasquilla. Dorsey. Whips it in. It's Wotto. It is the Moroccan magician. He gets in the box. He side foots it home. 40th minute. And the Houston Dynamo take the lead here on the stroke of halftime.
So Bassi, if he's getting in the box, it's probably not going to be him winning an aerial duel. So this was a nice curled-in ball. This is a beautiful offering from Griffin Dorsey. Good to see some end product from him. But he whipped it in hard and low, and Bassi just kind of snuck between a gap of two players, timed it perfectly, and side-footed it at home. Now, 49th minute, and this is the start of the second half. So the Dynamo take a 1-0 lead into the locker room, and then they come out in the second half. Big, big mistake from Mikael. Misjudges the play here. It forces off his line Andrew Tarbell. He brings down... I think it was Navarro, and then it's Navarro to the penalty spot. Actually, Bassett was trying to take the penalty, then Navarro came, who scored 4 of them. He steps up. Tarbell saves him, but Mihajlovic will then stuff in the rebound.
It's Navarro against Tarbell. Navarro looking to tie it up here for the Colorado Rapids. Hesitates. Save Tarbell. Second ball is stuffed in.
So Mihajlovic will get the goal there. So that makes it 1-1. And that's a bit of a body blow because the Dynamo had, picked off that goal in the 40th minute. And then the game-changing moment, I think, in this game comes after Colorado equalizes it. They're feeling a little bit better. And then a good change from Juan Guerra, who was in for Ben Olsen on the bench. They bring in Latif Blessing. He brings in energy, and he also hits the sweetest of volleys here in the 70th minute.
Bassi off the corner. And the Dynamo get ahead on this. It's a late run at the back post. It's Aliyu. He hangs it up. Stefan's going to get there. He's going to punch it out. It's a hit from Blessing. Oh, yes! Oh, Latif Blessing. Blessing Shell Energy Stadium.
So he hit the volley perfectly. Now, if you go back and look at this, this is pretty close to Zach Steffen. It's hit hard. Don't, element of surprise. You know, I don't know if he was potentially screened. The body's in front of him. But I'm going to tell you, the two goals the Dynamo scored, when Zach Steffen was back on his game, he would have saved one of these. He just did not look good at all. This is a great goal nonetheless. Okay, let's not take anything away. It's two games in a row, Blessing has scored. He got the one gift in the game that put the Dynamo up in L.A. So, but I think his energy also was something that was really, really critical. It was infectious. I think it affected others. The timing of him coming in the game was excellent. And then you get a nice transition goal here, really pretty goal. Sebastian Kowalczyk in the 80th minute. This makes it 3-1.
Kowalczyk, he's got Aliyu to his left. Bossy making a run on the right here. It's Aliyu now. Can he cut it back on his right? He does. Kowalczyk is going to let fly. Kowalczyk is hit for a third. It's the first time this year the Houston Dynamo have scored three goals. And they are up 3-1, and they will have a cushion here in the final 10 minutes.
Yeah, a cushion they don't often get or haven't gotten. They've never had a two-goal cushion all year long. So this was really good stuff. So Juan Guerra, who took over for Ben Olsen, who was suspended, here's Juan Guerra on the importance of this win.
Very, very important result. It's us full of energy mentally, and we got to turn the page, obviously, very, very quickly. We got to start thinking about what Saturday night's going to be in Portland, because it's going to be another tough match and a quick turnaround and a very important game for us moving forward. But very, very happy for the players, very, very happy for the coaching staff. We were able to link up a performance that led to a very good result.
Needed to win bad. I mean, look, you had one win in six games. But let's just remind ourselves, as long as you're hanging around 8-10 in the Western Conference and you get to the transfer window in the League's Cup, you're positioned well. I think all these teams know this. So that's why I don't think you ever see any real panic. Now, on the other hand, you got to win games and you got to score goals in order to put people in the stands and to keep people engaged. So this was a big win. The Dynamo had only won 1-6 prior to this. Here's Juan Guerra on figuring out more ways to create more chances.
It's even better to win at home, and it multiplies if you can score three goals. So it speaks high volumes of, I mean, what the team has been doing, the coaching staff and the players behind the scenes, and focusing a lot on the final third and finding ways to score more goals and create more chances and more opportunities. I mean, until the game opened up, towards the end is when we saw more chances, more shots, and we could have scored more. I know that in the first half, it's not like it was a lot of shots, and even starting in the second half. But the team that we are, we're the team that likes to control the game through possession, and through possession start creating chances. And in this league, that's very, very difficult. And we're finding ways to do so, even with rotations, even with new players and different players playing up top. I think this year we probably tried 3 or 4 different players as a 9, 3 or 4 different players as wingbacks and as 10s. So it gives us the ability to transform. It gives us the ability to attack with different players. And very, very happy that the boys got a lot of goals tonight, and we're able to go home happy, and most importantly, send a lot of fans happy home.
I like Juan in the press conference, and I liked his sideline demeanor. I think a lot of that trialing other players and giving other opportunity came down to a lot of injuries and the fact that you don't really have a 9 and you were trying to figure things out. I think the Dynamo settled on the false 9 with Sebastian Kowalczyk. Worked out last night. I think this game was the perfect opponent for the Dynamo to get them out of this funk. Now you're going to go to Portland on the artificial surface. If you don't get a result against Portland and Seattle also wins, you might be outside of the playoff picture. Again, if you're 8-10 and you're on the fringe of it and you're going into the second phase of the season, you're okay. I mean, I think everybody knows that. It's not a surprise. So Rapids had chances. I think Andrew Tarbell gets the star man in this game. Aliyu, we could obviously see in this game, is a lot more comfortable wide. By the way, call in with your take on the Dynamo. 713-780-3776. Latif Blessing, again, off the bench, brought the energy, the goal to change the game. Ace fought through a full 90 minutes, still doesn't look fully fit. And remember, the Dynamo have to play the game at his tempo. It's much like when Brad Davis was with the Dynamo. These are your two fulcrums. You have to play in a lot of ways to their tempo. And that's why the Dynamo do have a big build-up game. Franco Escobar came back. That was good to see. Him and Daniel Starris split the left-back position. I still you got to give Daniel Starris a lot of credit for the way he handles the left-back position, because not a lot of center backs could do that. He's a very mature veteran. You can see he plays cerebrally. Eric Sviatchenko and Ethan Bartlow split the CB position. Juan Guetta, again, I like his sideline demeanor. Really good stuff. This is Jivin' Sister Fanny by the Rolling Stones. By the way, Angel Di Maria, 36 years of age, 6 months. He's going to play at Rosario Central, then apparently to Inter Miami. He's leaving Benfica. Edinson Cavani, retiring from Uruguay ahead of the Copa America, had 58 goals and 136 appearances. This is bizarre. Vincent Kompany to Bayern Munich. I mean, he was managing Burnley, who got relegated. They say he's like their four. He wasn't their top three or four choices. I don't know if this is a nightmare about to unfold with Bayern Munich, but it is a bizarre one. Saturday, Real Madrid and Dortmund, UEFA Champions League final, 2 o'clock Central, pitch 25, CBS Paramount will do a watch party there. Hugh O'Connor's also out on I-10, we'll have that. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. Jordy Sunyer in segment three. Coming up is Dynamo goalkeeper Andrew Tarbell, and we'll speak to Andrew. As we head to break right now, it's 713-780-3776. As we head to break, courtesy of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and Soccer Matters, 713-780-3776, caller number 5, a pair of tickets to the Copa America, Mexico, Jamaica.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That's Phil and Knott and the one and only Thin Lizzy. Well, that guy died young, too. I mean, just so many of these guys die of lifestyle. So when I hear Thin Lizzy, I'm thinking of Cactus Music. My good friend Quinn down there. Get over to Cactus Music. All the vinyl you'll ever want. All kinds of just great memorabilia in there. Used vinyl, fresh new vinyl, CDs, everything. You walk in there, you're not going to leave. I mean, sometimes I go in there and I'm in there for 2 hours plus, and I'm like, oh, I think I got to work. So you leave there with an armful of vinyl. Thanks to Cactus and also to Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10. All right, next guest right now. Outstanding match last night. Positioned the Dynamo for the win last night. You notice him from last year. He was in goal during the run for the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which the Dynamo ultimately won over in Inter Miami. He is from Mandeville, Louisiana, went to Clemson, is Houston Dynamo goalkeeper Andrew Tarbell, and he joins us live now. Andrew, thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so first of all, tell me about Mandeville, Louisiana. I know where it is, and your introduction to soccer and the youth game down there.
Yeah, there's a couple clubs down there. I played for Mandeville Soccer Club. They're still in existence, run by a couple great gentlemen that I still keep in touch with as close friends, Mike Ortner and Shane Jeanfro. So I had a great youth club to play in, made some great friends doing that, and found my way to a PDL team, the New Orleans Jesters, still in existence, and from there is where I made the jump to college. So, yeah, it was a great place for me to grow up and start playing the game.
Yeah, I remember the Jesters, and also remember the names of those clubs and those coaches as well. So it's a great story. Well, let's talk about last night. How important was this win for you guys at this stage of the year?
Yeah, no, it was a great win for us. You know, every single win's important. You know, we coming off a loss away and a draw before that, just getting a home win in a busy week is really important for the team. So that was a really solid match for us to come away with 3 points and quick turnaround now in Portland 2 days from now.
Was there a sense of relief in the locker room after this that you banged in a few goals? Because you could see that there was some frustration building. And, you know, it's nice to play a game with a two-goal lead every once in a while, right?
Well, I think we've been playing really well, you know, implementing our style of play, lots of possession. And sure, maybe we just haven't scored quite as many goals as we would want to. So I'd say the feeling last night was validation, you know, to say, okay, we scored some goals. We held on tight on the defensive end and got the job done and you know, got a good result. So at the end of the day, the results matter, but the performances matter too. So for us, it was kind of validation after having good performances and not quite getting the results we wanted to have both of them, you know, go our way, both the performance and the result last night was validating for the group. So, yeah, so it was a good one for us.
Yeah, I think back to some of those games that you guys were dominant in pretty much all facets of the game. And then, you know, Austin sneaks in a late goal. I mean, that's a night where you really outplayed them in every area. So I would think it had to feel good. We're talking to Dynamo goalkeeper Andrew Tarbell. Look, I know you're a pretty humble guy, and you're probably not going to say a whole lot about this, but, you know, you obviously, in my mind, positioned this team to win the game at home. You came up with some really, really critical saves early. Your handling was clean. You know, you obviously did the spectacular with the double save. Were you seeing the ball great last night? I mean, how did you feel in goal?
No, I just felt good last night. You know, some nights you just feel better than others, and you know, I just felt like I was in a good place with training and all that kind of stuff, and had, you know, got a couple games under my belt beforehand. You know, that's always important as a goalkeeper is kind of getting a run of games and you know, have an opportunity to feel more comfortable in there. You know, obviously I don't play too many games, and you know, I had 8 months between, you know, the Open Cup final and my next game, which was the Open Cup, you know, first round that we were in this year that didn't go so great. So to bounce back from that for me personally was good. I'm happy with that. And so yeah, no, it's just, it's nice to be out there and help the team in any way. And like I said, you know, any win in this league is good and something to celebrate. So we're happy about it.
Man, that's incredible. 8 months. And then you have the Detroit game, and you know, nobody's feeling great about the Detroit game. So you must have been itching to get back in goal to erase that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, anytime, you know, things don't go your way, you want to just get back out there and go again. So that was my mindset. And, you know, obviously, you know, no one wants to see a teammate injured, and it was, you know, unfortunate for Steve to take the injury, and you know, he'll be back very soon. So that's good. But obviously to fill in for a couple of games, you know, it's just my job to be ready to go.
Andrew, you wowed everybody with the double save. So where I was in the stadium in my position, I really got a great look at it. So after you made the initial save, I'm like, all right, get up and seal the near post up, man. And you got up very, very quickly and made that second save. That's a motivating moment, right?
Yeah, no, it was, I went to parry the first one. Probably should have done better. Probably should try to catch it. I only saw the first guy in my vision there, so try to get it around him, and I didn't see the second guy. And luckily, I was able to get up and react and cover that post between, you know, Mika and I were able to get that done. So, yeah, no, I think it was just kind of a shot across the bow for the team. You know, like we're you know, was it 1-0 at that point or 0-0? I can't remember exactly the score at that point. But, you know, the job's a long way from being done, and we're at home, and, you know, the pressure's on us to get a result. So, you know, anytime you kind of survive big moments like that define or can define, you know, goals and games, it's important to survive those moments as a goalkeeper. And then on the other side, it's, you know, it's important obviously for the guys to capitalize on our moments to score, which they did.
And those are great moments, you know, because I think goalkeepers, when you make a play like that, not only you lit the whole stadium up, I think you light your teammates up too. You know, it's kind of like, holy smoke, you know, look at what Andrew Tarbell's doing here. I mean, he's sending a message to all of us. I think those are really cool moments because they really can affect others.
Yeah, no, it definitely has that effect, that position, you know, and you see it across the league with all the goalkeepers, and you see it you know, in Houston all the time with Steve when he was in there, you know, making a big play can turn the tide. So, you know, in the moment, I didn't really feel like it was a play like that, but it's nice to know that maybe the, you know, people watching or my teammates would ever thought so. So, yeah, again, just happy to make a play and help us win.
So now it's off to Portland. It's artificial surface. You know, some thoughts on Portland. Obviously, this is a team that you guys know, you've played against. It's also a team that's coming off a big win against Austin FC on the road.
Yeah, good result for them last night. And then, you know, Portland, it's a, you know, big atmosphere there, big club. They're, you know, they're difficult to play against, especially at home. You know, they got some firepower, you know, when they're attacking players and all that. So it'll be a test for us for sure.
Juan Guerra was the coach for this game with Ben Olsen out. It really seemed like he fit in perfectly on the bench and the way you guys were guided by your coaching staff. I mean, it seemed like it was all in place last night.
Yeah, everyone did a great job. Juan's fantastic. He's a really clear communicator. You know, he gets his ideas across the team in a really good way that helps us. So we didn't miss a beat there for the game last night. So, you know, again, this whole group, you know, everyone involved is, you know, on the same page and ready to fight to win games. And, you know, whether you're a coach or a player and, you know, it's your time to step up and play, then we're ready to go. So, yeah, Juan did a great job last night.
Andrew, I know you and I have talked a lot about the mental side of goalkeeping, but, you know, there is a balance, right? I mean, that, yes, you are supportive in a lot of ways to Steve Clark. On the other hand, you have to make sure you're training like a first-team guy and wanting that job and wanting playing time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can be a, you know, it can be a difficult balance. And, you know, I've been doing this for quite a while, and so I've been in different mindsets at different points in my career. I've obviously been on different teams and been in different situations. And, you know, for myself, it's really just every day trying to get a little bit better, give my all, do the best that I can. You know, and then the decision on who's going to play is not really up to me. You know, it's so my job is just to do the best that I can. And then, you know, on the Saturday, you know, if I'm not playing, then okay, then my job is to support who is playing, you know, and if it's my turn to play, then, you know, the other guys support me. And, you know, we've got a good group who's willing to do that and has done that. So it's nice to be a part of. And that's just the way you got to frame it in order to continue to push and stay sharp and, you know, be ready to play and be excited about that when you get the chance, but also not, you know, the world's not ending when you're not playing. You know, you just got to keep going day by day.
Andrew Tarbell, Dynamo goalkeeper, joining us. How do you like playing with Eric Svechenko in front of you, that nice combination of him and Mikhail, experience and youth?
Yeah, both those guys are great. They're fantastic. They, you know, 1v1 defending, they're both incredible. And, you know, building out of the back and starting the attack from those guys is an important part of our game too. So, you know, can really count on those guys, especially on set pieces and organizing all that kind of stuff. So they're both, you know, fully developed, well-rounded players, you know, that this team relies on, you know, every game. So yeah, they're great.
Yeah. And I don't want to slight Ethan Bartlow, who's played very well as well. And Daniel Starris to me is just, remarkable as a center back playing outside back and handling that role so easily, being right footed on the left side of the field.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys that you're mentioning are fantastic players and play their part. You know, and you know, all those guys when they're on the field step up and perform. And you know, they've been asked to play in different positions maybe here and there. Dan, you know, center back, left back, right back, wherever. You know, Dan just has a ton of quality and can do that. And you know, Ethan's kind of in and out at that center back position, but every time he plays, he performs. And, you know, he's incredible in the buildup. And, you know, and he had a huge block last night. I don't know if you remember that in the second half, saved the goal for sure. Huge block coming in as a sub. So just to come off the bench and make a play like that from Ethan is incredible. So, you know, all credit to those guys for what they do week in and week out.
Well, Andrew, all credit to you. Outstanding performance last night. The fans that were at Shell Energy Stadium got an opportunity to see a great goalkeeping performance, and that was put on by you. So exceptional stuff. Really enjoyed watching you play last night. Continued success in Portland, and thanks so much for doing this live tonight. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again.
We'll do it. All right. That's Andrew Tarbell, Dynamo Goalkeeper Live. Very nice of him to come on live here tonight. And I think you saw the performance last night. When we put our highlight package of the game together, we're going to start it with the double save because it was just one of those really, really interesting and exciting moments. And boy, the Dynamo have a good goalkeeping duo, no question about it. Before we head to break, I wanted to remind you about something that's another one of these really interesting stories. By the way, as many, many more American investors getting involved at these clubs everywhere, it's pretty remarkable. But there's also American coaches in places that you may not be aware of. We talked about Fabian Hurtzeller with St. Pauli, who's gotten them promoted to the Bundesliga. Here's another one, Joe Enox. There's a team called Jan Regensburg, Bundesliga 3. He moved them from Bundesliga 3 to Bundesliga 2. Enox is from the U.S. He's 52 years old. He was born in Petaluma, California. He played college soccer at Cal State Sacramento. But here's where the German connection comes in. He went over to Germany, played for St. Pauli, their second team. Never played with the first team. That was in 95 and 96. Then he moves to Osnabrück. Again, a lower division team. He plays 359 games there. He goes on to coach their second team, their first team, loses his job. Then he has 5 years at Zwickau before getting the job at Jan Regensburg. And he's gotten them promoted from Division 3 to Division 2. These are significant moments. I don't think we fully understand what that means in that town. When an American coach comes in. But, you know, there's a lot of Americans, you know, that have gone to Germany and stay over there. I mean, they find wives there. They end up remaining in the game over there at various levels after playing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Bundesliga and Bayern Munich, right? So, interesting stuff. Okay, we're coming up with Jordi Sunyer. We're going to talk about Hansi Flick being named the new coach of FC Barcelona and that whole soap opera there. As I reminded you, tomorrow we're going to do a lot with the U.S. men's national team in the Copa America. We're going to do a lot with the Olympic team and the roster there. Brian Charette is going to join us from U.S. Soccer now. And we will also start getting into a lot of what is going to go on with Real Madrid and Dortmund in the UEFA Champions League. And then the CONCACAF Champions League again. Everybody in MLS pulling for the Columbus Crew against Pachuca, right? Estadio Hidalgo. In Pachuca, Mexico, at altitude. And by the way, Guillermo, just let me remind you, the Crew defeated your Monterrey boys, Rayados, 5-2 on aggregate. I'm not counting them out. This is a song by Lovin' Rockets called No New Tale to Tell. And, so tomorrow, the other thing we got to get into tomorrow is we're going to talk a little about the FA Cup. We want to run some of the sound from Erik ten Hag. As well as with Manchester United. Okay, we're going to take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, DanishInspirations.com. Also, Brian Ching, Pitch 25. They've got the game on Saturday. Don't forget it. Pitch 25 Beer Park. They got 100 beers there. The soccer field. You're going to see all kinds of jerseys. It's going to be like being at the game. You're going to see the Real Madrid jerseys, the Dortmund jerseys. And Paramount CBS is going to be there as well. So it's a big event. And then if you're out the I-10 way, you hit up Hugh O'Connor's pub. All right, we'll take a break. LamontBrands.com for the T-shirts and hats. Soccer Matters, all proceeds to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to end it in big style here tonight. Before we get to our next guest, I just want to remind you, Copa America right around the corner here in June. We got Mexico, Jamaica. We've got Colombia, Paraguay, and then we'll have a knockout stage game on July 4th, which very much and could be Argentina and Lionel Messi, the current World Cup holders.
in Houston. This is a spectacular summer of soccer. The Copa America is here. It's basically a World Cup of South America plus some CONCACAF entries like the U.S. and Mexico. You get your tickets at LSSE.net, LSSE.net. It is the Copa America. You want that feel of the World Cup, which will be here in 2026. Get out to the Copa America. Tickets, LSSE.net. We keep it international. We go over to Barcelona, TV3's Jordi Sunyer, great guest of the show. Jordi, thanks for coming on as always.
Hello, hello, Glenn. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
All right. So a few people were saying, listen, you got to get Jordi Sunyer back on the show. Big news, Barcelona. Just when we thought Xavi was safe and was going to stick around after saying he was going to leave, now Hansi Flick will come to Barcelona. He will replace Xavi. He comes after his last job with the German national team. Maybe you can take us into some of the details around this and how this has occurred.
Well, the thing is, apparently small situations show that Barcelona are really a mess. I would say even a circus right now, because this changement of situations is not normal for a big club like Barcelona. So they stage on late April that press conference in which Xavi announced he was staying alongside chairman Joan Laporta. And the truth is that it was like a kind of arranged wedding because of probably there were sporting interests. But for Barcelona, it was okay to have Xavi one more season just for economic reasons, because they saved the money needed to search for a new manager. But the truth was there were heavy disagreements between Xavi and the sporting director, Deco, about how the next squad, the squad for next season, the roster for next season had to be, because Xavi wanted to get rid of important players such as Robert Lewandowski or Joao Felix. He really thought Robert Lewandowski at 36 years old was not capable of offering a good physical performance as Xavi thought the team needed. And this was met with a negative response by Deco. So after Xavi announced he wanted to stay, this differences between the two arose, and there have been other disagreements regarding how the team had to be for next season. So Xavi felt, I think Xavi was alone. And in the press conference before the Almeria game, Xavi said, well, we have to admit we cannot compete with Real Madrid. We have not the economic power, the financial power. We don't have the money. We don't have the resources to compete with Real Madrid. We'll try to do our best with the youngsters, and yeah, we'll try to compete with.
So this was after the discussion with Deco, the sporting director,
yeah,
about Lewandowski. Okay, so
yeah, of course.
He kind of took it public then.
More or less, but the thing is, Chairman Joan Laporta has always sold illusion. I mean, in the current Barcelona's financial situation, you cannot sell things that are, let's say, 100% real, because many of these things cannot be done because you don't have the financial power and the financial muscle to do these things. So Joan Laporta felt a little bit betrayed by Xavi, because chairman is trying to sell this illusion, these dreams that, hey, yeah, we're going to come back one day. And this was a clear, let's say, a hit of reality by Xavi to Barcelona fans. So he felt a little betrayed and decided, because Barcelona is day by day is a more presidentialist club, it was Chairman Joan Laporta that finally decided to get rid of Xavi and look for another manager. And he liked Hansi Flick. He's been, I think, I would say for more than 2 years thinking of a German manager for Barcelona. And finally, it's been Hansi Flick.
What's the fascination? I mean, obviously, German managers are great managers. Joan Laporta, it's very clearly stated that he does like German managers.
We have discussed in this show, Glenn, that after Guardiola, there was just one manager that knew how to evolve the Barcelona style into, I mean, keeping the foundation, but evolve this style into a more physical one, considering how the whole European football is evolving into a more counter-attacking game, a more high-pressing game. And it was Luis Enrique. So I think Barcelona have struggled to find, after Luis Enrique, they have struggled to find this manager that keeps the foundations of the Barcelona DNA, the Barcelona style, and knows how to play physical, how to play a counter-attacking game. Even Pep Guardiola has evolved. If you look at some of his players, of course, Guardiola is the epitome of the Barcelona style, but who is his number one defensive midfielder? Rodri Hernández, physical player. The latest signing as a winger, Jeremy Doku, physically strong, quick. His striker, Erling Haaland, 2 meters of center striker. So Barcelona have been, I think that they felt trapped in this old Barcelona DNA, in the smaller players, as we call them here, those Xavi, Iniesta, and so on. But they need to evolve. And I think Joao Laporta thinks that a German manager knows how to do this, knows how to respect the Barcelona DNA, but at the same time prepare the players for a more physical game, for a more forwards and backwards game, counter-attacking, higher pressing, the Klopp style, more or less.
So he's on his way, Hansi Flick, at Bayern Munich, 81% of the games he won there, won a Champions League title there, he won a Club World Cup, 2 Bundesliga titles, and the UEFA Super Cup. Jordi Sunyer, TV3, joining us. Is the Barcelona job, now I know this is very subjective, but is the Barcelona job, because I've heard this from so many people, is this the most pressure-filled managerial job in the world?
It could be, because there are a lot of interests, and many times these are personal interests around the club. Barcelona is a very powerful institution. It's one of the three, for many years it has been one of the three key elements for Catalan personality and for Catalan identity, alongside with local government and a local bank. And it gives you power. Being someone at FC Barcelona, for FC Barcelona, being the chairman, being an important board member, it's not a joke. So there are many interests around the club. And when I say interest, I mean lobbies. I mean many people that use the club as a power tool. So this means that the pressure is very high. And you know that there are three daily sports newspapers in Barcelona, many radio stations, many TV stations talking about the club. So I think also Joao Laporta is considering Hansi Flick as an unpolluted manager. He comes from Germany, may know what Barcelona is in historical terms, but he doesn't know the press, he doesn't know the lobbies, he doesn't know many of the things that surround the club. Will he be fed up of that, after 6, 7, 8 months of coaching Barcelona? We don't know. But from the start, he's clean about all that. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult being a Barcelona manager. And you only have to look at Xavi. He's a Barcelona man. He's a local. He played many years for Barcelona. And I had the opportunity to talk privately with some members of his staff, and they were telling me, we are tired of all these political things, not in the strict sense of the word political, but lobbying, interest, what I was telling you. We are tired of that. They don't let you work in 100% sporting terms. They don't let you think 100% about football, because there are all these things around the club that disturb the daily work. And even for Barcelona people, even for a former player like Xavi, it's been very, very difficult.
Jordi Sunyer joining us, TV3, in Barcelona, Spain. Let's talk a little bit about FC Barcelona's women's team, because they won the Champions League for the third time. Women's football in the U.S. is big. They knock off Leon, 50,000 people, Bonmati, Puteas with the goals. Just position it for fans of the women's game here in the U.S. myself included. Where is the women's game? How competitive is La Liga? How competitive is the Champions League overall? And are these attendance figures, are they truthful? In other words, they're big numbers. They're big numbers. Numbers we don't see here.
It depends. It depends. There was a heavy bet on women's football by FC Barcelona some years ago. And this bet has paid its dividends because right now, Barcelona may be the greatest women's football team in Europe. Three Champions League in these last 4 years. So it's extraordinary. They have a clear game plan. It's the Barcelona style. They really play the Barcelona style, but the project of the club is very clear. Although there have been some changements and former sporting director Marco Zubizarreta, the son of former Barcelona goalkeeper Andoni Zubizarreta, resigned, but you feel there's a clear game plan. But the thing is, in Spain, it's only Barcelona and at a minor stage Real Madrid that have heavily invested in women's football. In the whole of Europe, I would say there is a good investment in women's football by many of the most important teams, the Barcelonas, the Olympique Lyonnais, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, clubs in Germany. So, yeah, women's football is growing.
And essentially, those individual clubs, they're a bigger brand than the NWSL, even though the NWSL here in the United States is the most competitive female soccer league in the world, top to bottom.
But you know how it works. You need a brand. That's why also Real Madrid invested in women's football, because it was a common saying in Spain that there had to be a Barcelona and a Real Madrid competing on the same level in women's football just to attract people to the stadiums. But only Barcelona has worked, and attendances at Real Madrid's games have been dwindling. Attendances at other women's football games in Spain are quite low. I would say, except for some particular games, less than 1,000 spectators per game, which is a very low attendance figure. It's probably higher in Europe. And it's a pity because the level is good. And European clubs and Spanish clubs like Barcelona have been playing tournaments in the US. 2 years ago, Barcelona played against Houston, and they played against the Portland Thorns in the U.S.
And the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, it was a tournament.
Yeah, and
very appealing.
You could see the level was two clubs, the American one and Barcelona, were level, so they are able to compete against American teams. So we are growing, but probably there are still some steps to.
So let me break in here, Jordi. Jordi Sunyer joining us, TV3, as we got about 2 minutes left here. So Jonathan Giraldez is going to go to the Washington Spirit. So he wants to coach in the best league in the world. Just real quickly, the salary that the women are getting. Is this competition for the U.S.? Can Barcelona come to the U.S. and go after a Mallory Swanson and say, hey, we're going to double your salary and bring you to play for Barcelona? Can they do that?
It's a good question, but I think it's difficult. I would have to know how are the salaries in the U.S. For example, Alexia Putellas has extended her contract, and we are talking about figures that would be in the region of the lowest salaries in the men's football team. But even being the lowest salaries in the men's football team, that's we're talking about millions or in millions of euros. So we are beginning to experience a quite important raise in salaries. Of course, they are not the salaries of the men's game, and I don't know exactly how are the salaries in the U.S.
I can tell you the league average is probably around 65,000. The minimum is around 35,000, which that's not easy to live in a West Coast or an East Coast market. That's kind of where it is now, as it's trying to grow. Yet there are some bigger contracts now being offered, and some players are getting 3-year deals for $1.5 million. So It's still immature in a lot of ways, but, you know, I just wonder sometimes.
I think it's a similar situation. According to the figures you're telling me, it's a similar situation. So Barcelona can pay 70,000 euros per year to a good football player. They can do this. But in Spain, I think only Barcelona or Real Madrid can do this, not the other clubs.
Jordy, listen.
In Europe, just the top clubs can do it. Not many clubs.
Jordy, we're going to have to wrap it up. As always, thank you so much. We're looking forward to the Champions League final this weekend. We're looking forward to keeping up with what's going on with Barcelona. I thought it was interesting for my listeners to hear from you about the women's side of the game. Listen, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always a great job and always a great listen.
Thanks to you, Glenn. Here I am. Whatever you need, here I am. Thank you very much.
We're going to come to you about Leganés and see what happens with them on Sunday.
Let's see what happens this Sunday. Yeah.
Thank you, Jordy.
Thank you very much.
Jordy Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. Get the podcast of this show at Spotify, Apple, and Google. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sox, Soccer Matters GD. Podcast can also be grabbed at ESPN975.com. For Guillermo Lazo Romero and our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. I'm Glenn Davis, and until tomorrow night, remember, soccer matters. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 Central.